Well, everyone is looking for something new. Last year, according to Nielsen ratings, when people were listing their New Year resolutions for 2015, this is how it came out. It's 37%, this is the top 10 for 2015. 37% said that they wanted to stay fit and healthy in 2015. 32% said they wanted to lose weight. 28% said enjoy life to the fullest, whatever that means. 25% said spend less, save more. 19% said spend more time with family and friends. 18% said get organized. 14% said learn something new or a new hobby. 14% said travel more. 12% said read more. Found it interesting that 16% said they will not make any resolutions for 2015. Well, how did you do? And you made these New Year resolutions last year, and how did you do? You were looking for something new to happen in your life. It's interesting that in the survey and other surveys that I looked at, there wasn't any mention about faith or God if it was not a religious survey by nature. Now, maybe somewhere down in the weeds of the survey, maybe there was something there about faith or God. It didn't present itself. And it seems that all of us are wanting something new to fill the void of the emptiness that we're experiencing. And even those who are followers of Christ, sometimes it just seems that that is not enough, that there's still something new that I'm chasing that will help me feel better, help me experience life in a more full way. Well, God's Word helps us understand how we can really experience something new in 2016. If you'll open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we looked at this passage from a different perspective when I was preaching through 2 Corinthians, but I want to look at this text this morning as it relates to something new for you in the coming year. Something new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to begin reading in verse 17. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Now, everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." And then he explains it. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. So the message of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, is that God has made it possible for a man to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, because his sin has separated him from God, and it's in Christ, through Christ, the work of Christ on the cross, that a man can have his sin forgiven and be right with God. Now notice what he says in verse 20. "In light of that, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Certain that God is appealing through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Now, there are several things that Paul says in this passage as we apply it to the idea of something new in 2016. First of all, there might be somebody here who needs a new relationship. The relationship that you were in or you're in now is not going well, or you're in a new relationship, or you're done with the old relationship and you're looking for a new relationship. Well, Paul begins by saying, in Christ. Now, in Christ means many things, a variety of things, but it primarily means that a person can have a new relationship with God through Christ. That we belong to Christ. Everyone has a sense of belonging. That's what relationships are all about. That there's a need that is not being met, and so a new relationship provides an emptiness for me relationally. And so God says that in Christ we're able to have a new relationship. We belong to him. When Paul says in Christ, it also means that I'm in the sphere of Christ's power. That some of you here today have a relationship with God, but you need to really get in the sphere of his blessing and his power. Now, for those of you who are not a follower of Christ, that once you become a follower of Christ, that you're now in the place where God can bless you and God can allow you to experience His power in your life. It also means in Christ that you're united with Him and His mission, which Paul explains this ministry of reconciliation, which I'll talk about in just a moment. But it also means when you're in Christ, you're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the church, the family of God. And so there are those who you're not a follower of Christ, when you become a Christian, that you become a part of a big family, the family of God. And that's all those who are in Christ all around the world, past, present, and future. And you'll get to experience the full reality of that in heaven and at the end of the ages when all that comes together, we're going to experience all the family of God. But that's why God has established His church, the local church, so that we, when we're in Christ, we belong to Christ, we belong to His mission and His plan for the ages, but also we're part of a local body of believers, that this is the family of God here at Linwood Baptist Church, that we're all in Christ. And so God may, for this coming year, want you to be a part of what God is doing here at Linwood and become part of the family here. The question is this: do you need a new relationship? A right relationship, a perfect relationship. That perfect relationship is not going to be found in a boyfriend or girlfriend, a husband and wife, a mom or dad, a son or daughter, a friend. It's only going to be found in one person, and that is Jesus Christ. If you're looking for the right relationship, the perfect relationship, because He is the only one who can meet every expectation that you have in a relationship. No one else can do it. They may meet some of your expectations, but they're all going to fail you in some way. I'm going to fail you as a pastor. What are you looking for in a pastor-member relationship? What am I looking for? Well, you're going to fail me. I'm going to fail you. That's why our focus as far as a relationship has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the perfect relationship for us, a new relationship. Secondly, God may be wanting you to experience a new life, not just a new relationship, but a new life. Verse 17, He says that in Christ we are a new creation. Notice He says, old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. So He's making a comparison between the old things and the new things. Now, He's not talking about a repaired life, but a new life. That means that you can have a new perspective, this new life. Now, I could really spend a lot of time on this. One thought. Here's where most of us really struggle as Christians. We really struggle thinking that when I become a Christian and I follow God, that God's going to change my circumstance and so that I can have a better circumstance than I'm experiencing right now. And we become very disillusioned with God when the circumstance doesn't change. Now, what Paul says that we're able to be a new creation and we have a new life, it means that the circumstance may not change, but my perspective about the circumstance can change. Instead of thinking on this plane, I'm thinking on this plane. That's why he says that we're to be looking above. That we look up rather than looking at the circumstance or looking within, thinking that there is some kind of natural response to the circumstance that's going to change, and it's not going to change. Now, for some of you, the circumstance may change. But for many of us, the circumstance may never change. So what do? Quit God? Become bitter at God? That's what a lot of people do. Their bitterness is manifested toward other people in the circumstance, but really their bitterness is against God. So the circumstance may not change, but your perspective about it can change. When you are in Christ, that's what some of you may need in 2016, is a new perspective about what you're facing in your life right now. And that's the great value of knowing Him. Now he talks about old things. He's simply talking about an old person, an old value system. an old behavior that needs to change. So he makes the comparison with new things, that there are new things that God wants us to experience. Now, it's hard to understand really all that he means by that unless you understand the context of the Old Testament. Because these new things were prophesied by Isaiah in 43:19. He says, I am doing a new thing. That there's going to be a new thing that happens as far as how a person can relate to God. Rather than through the law, the Mosaic law of the Old Testament, it's going to be through Christ. These new things are greater than the Exodus. It was a great thing that Israel experienced. They always thought, what's the Passover about? Remembering the Exodus for the Jew. He's always looking back. What a great thing that was when God delivered his people out of Egypt. And they left Egypt. There was the Exodus. And Paul is saying there's something greater than the Exodus. Something greater than the return from Babylon. You ever been away from home and for an extended period of time and you couldn't go back? Circumstances not allow you to go back. It could have been your job. It could have been things that were happening back home where you couldn't go back. And then one day, you're able to go back. That's a great experience. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. They were taken into captivity. They could not go back home to Jerusalem. And one day they were able to go back. What a great experience that was. But Paul says there's something greater than the return to Jerusalem that's going to happen for those who are in Christ. Primarily that we're delivered from sin, delivered from the bondage of sin, the penalty of sin, the power of sin in our lives, that he is able to provide for us. So the question this morning is, do you need a new life? You're tired of your old life. You want a new life. Christ gives you the opportunity to have a new life. Also, some of you need a new provider. Notice verse 18. Now everything is from God. Paul is saying about this idea of reconciling and of experiencing this relationship with God, that God is the one who took the initiative. God acted through the death of Jesus Christ. It was his plan. Man did not come up with that plan. Listen, that's religion. Religion is man trying to get to God, man trying to establish the rules of what it is about our faith and about God and all the rest. That's religion. Christianity, the faith of Christianity, is about God coming to man, God taking the initiative. It's what Christmas is all about. And God acted on our behalf through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only way a person can be reconciled to God. That's the only way a person can have a new life, is through the provision that God has given through Christ. The real issue here is trust. Do I trust God for everything? Or am I trusting in another person? I'm trusting in something else, a thing. I'm trusting in my church, whatever it is. Or am I trusting in God being the provider? Some of you need a new provider this morning. And there are also those who need a new ministry. A new ministry. Notice verse 18. God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And then he explains that more fully in verse 20, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, when we talk about a new ministry, some of you are not involved in ministry. You're not being used by God, because ministry is about God and others. God is using you, but it's about you connecting with others so they can experience God, just as you have. Somebody ministered to you, and their motive was that I'm going to help this person connect with God. Now, that might have been a tangible thing that they did to help you see an act of kindness. It might have been somebody sharing with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. It might have been being in a vacation Bible school class. Somebody was involved in the ministry of vacation Bible school in order to help you as a child learn about Jesus Christ. It might have been in the ministry of a life group class. It might have been in the ministry of whatever else. But the reason why people were volunteering their time was so that you could connect with God. It was about God and it was about you. It wasn't anything about them. That's why they were willing to sacrifice their time and their energies. And for some of you, you've received the ministry, but you're not involved in ministry. And you need a new ministry. God wants to use you so that you can help other people connect with God, maybe for the first time, or for others to continue to grow in their walk with Jesus Christ. And that's how you need to be viewing this, and that's how God wants to help us. The ministry of reconciliation is more than witnessing to somebody else. It's really about getting into the mess of humanity. Have you found yourself saying, oh, I don't want to get involved? You know, it's too messy. I don't want to get involved in that. I don't want to help because it's going to require, it's going to demand something of me. And really, a lot of times, we don't even know what's going to happen. We're fearful of that God really can't use me, that I'm going to create a more of a mess in the mess that I'm being invited in. It's bringing harmony out of chaos, reconciliation out of estrangement. It's love instead of hate. And this is what Paul is doing with the church at Corinth. He's writing to their, this is the second letter to the church. And in both of these letters, notice what Paul is doing. Paul is getting into the mess of their church. He could have said, forget that church, I'm moving on. But he gets into the mess of the church. What were some of the issues? There was jealousy among Christian leaders. I follow Cephas or Peter. I follow Apollos. I follow Jesus Christ. And there was jealousy with these groups among the different leaders. There were lawsuits by wealthy members against poor members of the church. Paul addresses that. There were conflicts in marriage. There was the issue of idolatry and weaker members. You know, I have the right to do this, eat meat that had been offered to idols. I have the right to eat that meat. But if that offends another brother, I'm not going to do it. It's very relevant for us today. I have the right to do certain things as a Christian, but is that going to help my witness or hurt my witness? Is that going to affect a weaker brother in Christ or a person who's not even a Christian? Is that going to help pull them toward Christ or is that going to push them further away from Christ? Is it going to cause them to compromise their values, even though I have a right to do that, but by doing that, it compromises what they believe is right? Oh, it's so relevant for today. He rebukes the congregation for their abuse of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And there was a man who had sinned against the church, against a particular person, but it affected the whole church. And they were having a hard time dealing with this person who had repented of their sin. What do we do with this person now? Do we let them back into the church? Does he have right standing with the church? What do we do about this? Again, very relevant for today. What do we do? I'll again quote Spurgeon when he was talking to a group of ministers about what do you do with a minister who's fallen and restoring him back into the ministry. Spurgeon said in his lecture to the students, he said, when their repentance is as notorious as their sin, then you can consider letting them back into the ministry. Everybody knows about their sin and how bad their sin was, but when they know about how strong their repentance is, how faithful their repentance has been, then you restore that brother. So they were wrestling with these kinds of issues, and Paul said, I've got to get into the mess of this in order to bring reconciliation. He confronts directly but lovingly. And in that same vein, he talks about in this ministry of reconciliation being an ambassador. Now, we all know that ambassador was a spokesman, as we have ambassadors now. They represent our country in other places. It was a much more complicated system being an ambassador during this time of the Roman Empire. There were Senate provinces and there were Roman provinces, imperial provinces, provinces of the emperor. If it was a Senate province, then it was a more peaceful situation, and they would go out to a territory and they would send representatives there, invite them to come into the Roman Empire. But if they had to send troops in order to take over a territory, that was considered an empire province. And so they would send troops in, and then they would negotiate a deal. Whether it was a Senate province or an imperial province, they would send, in fact, if it was an imperial province, they would send 10 senators from Rome, and they would bring the terms of peace that if you want to be a part of Rome, this is the agreement, and then they would execute the plan. They would make sure that it would happen, and they would stay there until it was fully handled. Those 10 senators were considered ambassadors. And so what Paul is saying is that his attitude was, is I'm going into enemy territory, and I'm bringing people the terms of peace with God, not with Rome. I want them to understand, here are the requirements for a person to have a relationship with God, and then he helps bring them into the family of God. As the senators, these ambassadors would bring these other provinces into the family of Rome. That's how it was described. And so God is using us to bring the terms of peace to those who are enemies of God. Some of them don't even realize that's their position apart from Christ. And we come to them with the terms of what? Of peace. How do you have peace with God, which brings peace to you? It's through Jesus Christ. And that's where, as Paul would explain, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, that we too are doing that, bringing the terms of peace and inviting people to be part of the family of God. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry of the church. Doesn't matter what name you put on a certain ministry, all those other ministries I mentioned, that all those are for the purpose of helping people come to terms with peace with God and being part of God's family, being in an environment where they are loved and accepted, where they can grow and mature in their faith. Now notice he says, he makes this distinction between the ministry of reconciliation, then he says that they are to be reconciled to God. That's the message. Be reconciled to God. Now what does this mean? That some of them had fallen back into sin. He's writing to the church. These are followers of Christ. Now he's saying, be reconciled to God. You've fallen into sin. There might be somebody here today who you would say, well, I know the Lord, but you're not where you should be spiritually. And God's message to you in 2016 is one thing: be reconciled to God. Because when you're reconciled to God, then you can be reconciled to others. Some of you are here today wanting to be reconciled with others. You have to be reconciled with God first. Then I'm able to be reconciled with others. He says, to God. That means we reorder our lives around God. He becomes the focal point. Our lives are changed by God. That spills over into our relationships. So that I let go of the bitterness. I let go of the anger. I let go of the hatred. Now that may be very important for folks here in 2016. That I need to be reconciled with others, but it's not going to happen until I let it go and give it to God. I'm reconciled to God. Because if your anger or your bitterness is directed towards somebody else, it means that you're really mad at God. So we try to deal with these relationships, but we never deal with the core issue. God, I need to be reconciled to you. Help me now with your grace that you've shown me because of my sin, help reconcile others to God. We're Christ's ambassadors. We've been charged with an incredible ministry. Think of it. Now, if Paul helps us understand, see, God is speaking through Paul, and he's saying to all of us who are followers of Christ that you have this ministry. It may have a different name to it, a lot of different types of ministries. But ultimately, you have the ministry of being an ambassador of God. Now, what does that mean? It means that God really thinks highly of you, that he would invite you not only into relationship, but to be part of his ministry of helping the world know who he is. Well, I don't have much to offer. Oh, you have everything to offer. You're the perfect person that God wants to use. Because there are going to be people that come across your path and only your path. They'll never come across my path. They'll never come across somebody else's path. You're the person that God has put into their lives so that you can be used to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. It says much about what God thinks of you. Some of you are sitting here today and saying, God can't use me. I'm nobody. No. You're somebody who's very special to God. Why did He create you? Not only to know Him, but to serve Him, to make Him known to others. You need a new something in 2016. A new relationship. A new life. A new provider. A new ministry. All of that can be found in Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? There might be somebody here today who would say, Pastor, when you said I need a new relationship, I do. And to be very honest, I know about the Lord, I know about Jesus, but I really don't know Him. I don't have a relationship with Him. And I know that I need that. And this morning I want to offer you God's invitation for you to begin a new relationship with Him through Christ. And when you do that, you're getting into the place of where God works. And God will begin to work in your life. You're in Christ and He's in you. And He'll begin to transform your life. And you'll begin to experience the reality of a new life. A new life. There's some of you here this morning who would say, I need a new church. I need a new church. I need a place of belonging. And maybe today, the first Sunday of 2016, is a day that you need to connect with God's church. Maybe you already know Him. But if God is working in your heart, leading in your spirit, we invite you to be part of God's family here at Linwood. There might be others who need a new ministry. You're really not connected to others. And you may not know what that means, what it looks like, but you know that God is saying to you, I need to be used by Him. I need to be involved in serving the Lord. All that He's done for me, it's a little thing that I can do is give my life, give my time, give my energies, my resources to serve God by serving others. And God will honor your life. He'll bless your life. He'll change your life. So much will change by being involved in a new ministry in 2016. Father, I thank You for speaking my own heart through this passage, because I need some things new in 2016, and You've reminded me it really just comes back to You, and that You're the only one who can provide all the needs that I have, that others have in this room. Help us to get our eyes off the things of this world, the circumstances that we're in, to get the new perspective that You want to give us. So I pray, Lord, You'll help these who need to make a commitment this morning to You, to Your church, to something new in 16, that You'll give them the grace to take that step of faith and obedience this morning. We'll praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.